Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up.
I want to bring a word of encouragement. Are you guys okay with that? So let me transition now. Jesus, I pray for your Holy Spirit's power and anointing to bring the goodness. Good things to me, all right? Yeah, okay, good. So I have a couple of thoughts here that I want to share, because we are celebrating the fact that Christ is risen, hallelujah. And his resurrection brought us so much. I mean, Jesus has brought life for the lifeless, and he has brought hope for the hopeless, and he's brought honor to the shamed, and he's brought beauty for the corrupted, and he's brought faith for the faithless, and he's brought family to the lonely, and he's brought comfort to the afflicted. He's brought rest to the weary, glory for the diminished, and joy for the joyless. And he's brought generosity to the grasping. And there's so much that Jesus has brought to us. And so I'd like to read the very last portion of the story of Jesus on the road to Emmaus out of Luke 24. In the story, it's resurrection, I guess we could say Sunday, as it were, even though it may not have been Sunday, all right? But it was resurrection day. And this is the very day that Jesus is raised from the dead. He's met the woman in the garden, and now there are two of Jesus's disciples who are walking the 7-mile road from Jerusalem to the town of Emmaus, and Emmaus means warm spring, and Jesus joins them in their journey, and they don't recognize him. And as they walk and as they talk together, Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and the prophets. And he explained from all the scriptures the things that were concerning himself, Jesus. And I want to start reading in verses 28 through 30. So this is Luke 24, 28 through 31, actually. This is the very end of their journey together. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us, since it's getting late." And so he went home with them. And as they sat down and ate, he took the bread and he blessed it. And then he broke it and he gave it to them. And suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized him. There's a lot about this day that was different for these two fellas. I mean, these two guys were walking on the road, and when they met Jesus, they were kind of expressing their heart of sadness and kind of the loss of a dream, and they were disappointed. So that was different about them. But what made this day so different for these two fellas was, well, their eyes were open, and they recognized what was really happening. And they realized that Jesus was alive and that the miracle of resurrection was right in front of them, and their hearts were ignited. And it says, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" Not only as he revealed himself through the scripture, but I'm sure just in that meal and just that conversation and that whole experience was a supernatural awakening for them. They remembered Jesus talking about, "There will come a day when I will go to the grave, and I will be raised again." And so today was different for them because their eyes were opened and they recognized what was really happening. Now I have a question for us here this morning. How is today different than any other day? Now, of course, we know it's Easter, the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And yet, if we're really to think about this honestly, really think about it, today is no different than yesterday or tomorrow. Now, I'm not saying that today is to be compared with yesterday as though it was insignificant. No, it's just the opposite. Yesterday and tomorrow are to be compared to today and honored as significant. Tomorrow will also be Resurrection Day. Tomorrow, the question will be, will our eyes be open and will we recognize what Jesus is really doing? That's the difference. So globally, today is held in great honor. And the things that make us, you know, realize that today is special is that it is a day of remembrance. What are we remembering today? Like, what does today help us recognize? So today is a day of remembrance, and today we recognize the great power of God to bring life from death. Today we remember that life is resilient. Today we remember that Jesus is God, and he took human form and lived among us to display the character of God the Father to human beings. The invisible God made visible to us in Jesus Christ. He chose to tabernacle with us. And what's more, today we not only remember the example of Jesus' life, we not only remember the teachings that can guide us through his life, it's more than that. Today we remember that Jesus lived a perfect life and became blameless and spotless, and he was the lamb to be sacrificed for our sins. We remember that we were delivered from the tyranny of sin. Sin no longer has mastery over us. Sin is no longer our master. We're not bound to it any longer. We've been set free, and we've been set free to live righteous lives. And in this, we can remember Titus 3. The kindness of God appeared. And when his kindness appeared, his love for mankind saved us. Not because of the good things that we had done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. He washed us with regeneration and renewal by his Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly in Christ Jesus our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So this is what we remember, that we've been set free and we can live righteous lives because of his mercy, because his Holy Spirit has cleansed us, because we've been renewed and been given rebirth as he generously pours himself into our lives. And this is where we find our justification. And this is what makes us heirs. And this is what brings us hope, not only for eternal life, but for today life, right now life, which is, by the way, eternal. And so today we remember that, and we remember that Jesus actually, you know, you think about Saturday, we know Good Friday and we know Easter, Saturday is equally important to me because we remember that Jesus descended into Sheol, into the abyss, into hell, and he defeated Satan. Jesus took the keys of death and hell, and he rose again victorious over the evil that beset humanity since the great fall in the Garden of Eden. So today we remember that Jesus is a victorious king. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? And so today we remember that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside all who believe. Today is a day of remembrance, recognition. We remember that the essence of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, has entered into our lives. And he's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption. So today we remember that Jesus was the firstborn among many who are sons and daughters of God. Today we remember that we are a kingdom family with kingdom purpose and kingdom power. And so we're part of a family business. You know, as Jesus told Mary, I must be about my Father's business. So you and I are about the Father's business. So let's remember that even as we safeguard our loved ones from the corona cooties, and we stay at home and we practice our social distancing, we're still on assignment. Let me encourage you, when it comes to the truth, and when it comes to remembering what today really means, tomorrow is no different. It is the same. The difference will be in how we remember and recognize what's really going on. We've heard this season, you know, that we're in, we've heard it referred to as a forced sabbatical. And I believe that to be true. And I've been on a few sabbaticals, a couple of them at least, and I've coached other people in their sabbaticals. And I've received some great coaching over the years. And sabbaticals are really important. And I wanted to just take a few words, a few minutes here to just share some words about like what can help you if you find yourself in this forced sabbatical and you've never been on a sabbatical before and you've never been coached before about what do you do when you're on a sabbatical? Like, it doesn't feel like a sabbatical. It feels like isolation or whatever it feels like to you. But I just want to invite you to step into this idea that the sabbatical is an invitation to cease your striving, to cease all things, really, that are unessential. And so sabbaticals are a catalyst for transition. They're a catalyst for change. And we can say that we're experiencing this type of change that really, if you think about it, it was kind of great remembering that 2 months ago, Bob Snackenberg shared a message, it's still on our podcast, and it had to do with change. Change that is often forced upon us, I think were the words that he used. And so we're experiencing something that Bob was speaking of 2 months ago. We didn't see this coming, but here we are. Something has been forced upon us, and we're experiencing a catalyst for transition and change. And often, like you can look at a sabbatical season as just the prime seedbed for that to happen. Like there's this ground that we can be tending right now, and we could be planting seeds in this ground in the season that we're in that will produce things in our lives in the future. And I think that's what transition and that's what this sabbatical can be for us. So as we find ourselves in transition, there are a few things that might help us kind of make the most of it, I guess. And I wanted to take a few minutes to share some thoughts here with you. First of all, transitions typically begin with endings. And as much as I don't like the fact that we're on a Zoom meeting on Easter, there's something kind of prophetic about this experience that we're having this morning. And so we're celebrating Easter apart, and yet we're together in the Spirit. So the point is that new beginnings usually begin with the death of a thing. And I'm not 100% sure what that means for us at a practical level as a community of faith, but I do know that for us individually, for each one of us privately, we're going to be confronted, and you've already been confronted with the loss of some things in this time of transition and in this forced sabbatical. So that becomes apparent to us. And I want to encourage you to feel the feels. You know, you just feel the feels, you go into it. We're not taught how to grieve well, but every loss really kind of demands some grief, some grieving. And I think we can do that by honestly sharing our hearts to the Lord in our private times of prayer. But we can also be sharing that with each other. And you might feel very isolated. You might be the only one in your house over these last days. but you have these technologies that you can reach out to people and you can share what's really going on. So while we share, you know, that, and while we feel the feels, we definitely want to orient our hearts towards the truth. And so the second thing that I want to encourage us, the first one being that transitions usually begin with endings, and we want to allow ourselves to grieve the loss of some things, making room, just as Jesus has taught us in his resurrection, that new life comes, resurrection life comes, just like the changings of the seasons, you know. If you enter into a time of winter and there's a dormancy, springtime is around the corner, and we can look forward to seasons of fruitfulness in the future. That being said, the second part of this is I want to encourage you to enter into your story. Enter into the last season. Like, do some reflection. Remember what this last season of your life has been like for you. And do a bit of excavation. It's like an archaeological dig. You can dig up all the stuff, you know, and as when I say dig up, I don't mean rooting around. I just mean like what comes to the surface, lay it on the table and be like, okay, this looks really important. This I can do without moving forward. So you lay it all out on the table and you lay out all the things in what I'm calling BC, and that's before Corona, okay? So lay out what your family life was like, what your work life was like, you know, just the whole long list of all your different life categories, what was, you know, important to you. And lay that all out on the table and let you and the Holy Spirit spend some time highlighting what is yours to take with you moving forward and what needs to be left on the table. Now, everything that we were doing BC is important for us moving forward. I don't know what that is for you, but I know there's some things for me that the Lord is taking some time with me personally and helping me walk through that. I'll just tell you a little bit of a story here. This last week, I decided to take Monday and Tuesday, and I wanted to take a little hike, so I did some social distancing by doing a solo backpacking trip just for an overnight. And I went on a couple segments of the Colorado Trail, and the second morning, Tuesday morning, I had this really profound experience with Jesus. A lot of you have heard many of us talk about, you know, going to safe place or finding your inner sanctuary, experiencing like the visionary type of imaginative prayer where you're encountering Jesus and you're having conversations with him and you're asking him, is there anything you want to show me? Anything you want to say to me? I highly recommend that you kind of move towards that if you're not already doing that. But I had this vision on Tuesday morning. Hope you don't mind me sharing this. And there's a place that I've been meeting with the Lord in my safe place, and I can point to it on a map. It's actually in a wilderness area called the Uncompahgre. And it's this beautiful spot that he and I meet when I'm in the, you know, posture of meditation and receiving. And this particular vision that I had, it started in the Uncompahgre. And I've been going to this place with Jesus for about 6 years now, okay? So we have a little history here. I kind of like it there. It's comfortable. I'm familiar with it. And he took me from that place. He took me up onto a ridge, and we sat down on a ridge, and we were looking south towards the Wamanutchi. Now, some of you have hiked in the Wamanutchi wilderness area. Interesting thing, both of those words, Uncompahgre and Wamanutchi, they're Ute Indian words. And Uncompahgre means like red water springs, or some translations would say healing waters. So I've been in this place with the Lord, and if you kind of go with the symbolism of the language here, where it's been healing waters, like the Lord has really done a restorative work. It's been great. And now we're looking out into the Wamanutchi. And if you were to go to look for what the word Wamanutsi means, the definitions that you will get is unknown. That's it. They don't know what the word means. And so what they'll say is, the definition of Wamanutsi is unknown, which to me was a play on words. Because as Jesus and I sat on that ridge looking at the Wamanutsi, I felt an invitation to go with him into this place. That there was a season that was coming to an end, a long, beautiful, amazing, restorative season where I've been with Jesus in the healing waters. And now the invitation, and we haven't gotten off of the ridge yet, by the way, so there's no rush here, right? But we are stepping towards. So again, this transition, letting go of some things, recognizing that we're moving into new territory with Jesus, and taking the time here in this sabbatical to do a bit of an inventory and a heart search. Because essentially, Jesus took me on this survey in my own personal journey of how I've identified myself with others. In my BC life, before Corona, I would often refer to myself as a pastor or a wilderness instructor or a counselor. It kind of depended on what kind of conversation I wanted to have with whoever I was talking with. And so as we looked to the Wamanutsi wilderness area, Jesus told me that in order for me to go with him into the new thing, I had to unpack my identity as a wilderness instructor, and I had to unpack my identity as a counselor, and I had to leave them where they were. Basically, what he told me was, Chris, you were made for this. And can I just echo that to you as a community? Friends, we are made for this. And for me personally, what I heard Jesus say was, I made you as a pastor. And as a pastor, yes, you'll still have adventures. And yes, you'll still counsel people, but you're a pastor. And that's all you'll need to carry with you into the Wamanutsi, or I guess what we could say, into the unknown. And so this is something that, as an example, I'm just sharing with you because sabbaticals can do that for us. They can help us. Because sometimes we're carrying loads that are not meant for us to carry moving forward. And just because we had that in the past doesn't mean that we need it in the future. And sometimes it can actually be a hindrance and be encumbering for us to carry that, even something that was good and rich and meaningful. And so having these times with the Lord, that's what sabbaticals are about. And so, remember, this is the third and final encouragement I have. So we want to allow ourselves to remember the miracles of God in our life. I want to take you to a passage of scripture that you may not have read in a while, if ever, okay? And so I want to take you to Exodus 36, and it's Exodus 36, 14 through 19. Now, maybe you are writing notes, maybe you're looking it up, and I'm reading it from the Message, okay? And I want to just give you backstory. Obviously, it's the exodus of the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt into the promised land. Talk about a transition, right? And that was a 40-year transition for them, and there were many steps along the way. But one of the things that they did was they got instructions from the Lord through Moses on how to build a tabernacle or how to build the tent of meeting. And so this is really going to be important for us because when we read this, we're going to find something pretty fascinating here. So Exodus 36, 14 through 19. Let me read this. Next, they made tapestries of woven goat hair for the tent that would cover the dwelling. They made 11 panels of these tapestries. The length of each panel was 45 feet long and 6 feet high or wide. They joined the 5 panels together and then the other 6 by making 50 loops. I mean, very detailed, right? 50 loops along the edge of the end of the panel and 50 loops along the edge of the adjoining panel. and they made 50 clasps of bronze and connected the clasps to the loops, and they bring these tents together, and they finished it off. Get this, they finished it off by covering the tapestries with tan ram skin dyed in red and covered all of that with dolphin skins. Dolphin skins. I think that's been in my Bible the whole time, but just this week I discovered that the Israelites had dolphin skins. I had no idea. It's like, where has that been hidden? The dolphin skins were the last layer on top of everything so that it could be the first thing that people actually saw when they came to the house of meeting, when they came to the tabernacle. The skilled artisans, they made amazing things to make the tabernacle beautiful. I mean, we just read just a small portion of what those artisans and the craftsmen and women did. I mean, it was amazing. And it actually says in the scripture that they were anointed by the Holy Spirit to do all of these great, like, artistic things. But it was the dolphin skins that covered it all. So, digging around a little bit, Hebrew scholars teach that the only time that the Israelites would have captured dolphins and skinned them was after they crossed the Red Sea. When the people of God found themselves between a raging army and a raging sea, God delivered them. When it came to either being slaughtered or drowned, the winds began to blow and the waters of the sea parted so that the people of God could cross over on dry land, and then they witnessed God completely destroy their enemy. And throughout the 40 years in the wilderness, I guess we could call it the 40 years of the unknown. If they knew Ute Indian, they might even have called it the Wamanuchi. They had something to remind them every time they went into the tent of meetings, that the same God who delivered them from the Red Sea is delivering us today and will deliver us tomorrow. So during this fourth sabbatical, find ways to remember the miracles of God. Not just what God did through you, like the artisans who created something beautiful, but remember what God alone could do for you, okay? That's the encouragement to remember. And that's what will make our days different. That's what will help us recognize tomorrow, that tomorrow is Resurrection Day, just like today is. So unpack your story with God. Allow yourself to grieve the loss of what you've identified with in this past chapter of your life. And remember the miracles of God in your life. And it's in that recognition of what's actually going on that we will find hope for our tomorrows. So let me close by just praying for you and blessing you with this. So Jesus, I'm praying that all of my friends here will be soaked and shaped by the goodness, the life, and the grace of our resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, may we all walk with humility and honor, being sons and daughters of the King of Kings, with nothing to prove, nothing lacking, and nothing to fear. May assurance and generosity shape our desires, our thoughts, our words and actions. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests. If you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.